Turn to the book of Judges and chapter 6. Judges 6, and we'll commence our reading from verse 33. Judges 6 and verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to us. Friends, as we come to this portion of God's word again in the study of the Judges, and we have concentrated for the past number of our studies in the life of Gideon, we saw the last time about his faith, how he trusted in the Lord to go out publicly, and we saw how he raised the alarm and blew the trumpet, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and it was a visible thing that people saw that God had dealt with him and he was a judge in Israel. Now here this evening we want to continue on taking up from verse 34 onwards, which says, But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Here in this portion, verses 34 and 35, we see those who followed Gideon, the influence that Gideon had upon others around him. When Gideon sounds the war trumpet, the people begin to rally around him. And we want to think about that for a moment, the response to Gideon. There was a close following, we see here. We are told that Abiezer came to stand with Gideon, was gathered after him. And here, this is interesting. This is a reference to Gideon's own clan, as it were, his own tribe. These are the very people who wanted to kill him. In the earlier verses, in verse 30, these are the very people who wanted to bring him down, and because he had destroyed their altar. But yet, here we see God had been working on Gideon, and there had been a change as well in their attitude towards Gideon. Evidently, his family and those who lived around him adopted Gideon's reforms, as it were. They are a changed people. Their attitude towards Gideon has changed. Instead of wanting him dead, they are ready to follow him as a leader. They want his leadership. Do you see how this can show both the work of God, but also the frailty of man? How we can change. And we should pray to God that instead of for us to change for the worse, but change for the better, by God's working in us, to actually support God's people, to support the causes of God, to go and follow on. The Lord has called us into different things and He's gifted us with different giftings. But we are to gather after the work of God when there is a need. And you may say to yourself, well, I don't know how to lead in this thing, I don't know how to do this, but you can support others who are leading and working and able to do those things. And then the Lord may also ask you to do certain other things that others can't do, but you can call upon people's support. One of the greatest ways of the believer wrestling and battling is in prayer. And that's what we are here for, to pray. This is a battle we are engaged in. And we can support others. The greatest support you can give to the preachers and the preaching of God's word and Christian workers and children's evangelism and all of these things is through your prayers. Through your prayers. Do you pray for the various things that others are seeking to lead? So the call goes out, come and support us in your prayers first. And so here Abi Ezer was gathered after him. By our seeking to pray, it is as if we are engaged with the very people. That's just by way of application here. But another thing that we see here is that you never know what a step of obedient faith in your life will accomplish in the lives of those who live around you. You cannot live for God without positively impacting those people around you. And God blesses your obedience to Him. Those around you are encouraged. They are encouraged to also go forward. The example that you set before others will spur others on to also go and do exploits. And this is a blessing. Yes, others may be put off. Other family members may not be happy with you. But there are others who will be encouraged. This is another application from this. When you demonstrated a bold commitment to follow God's will for your life, others will be challenged as well to follow it and follow suit. You should never underestimate how God can use our lives to touch others for His glory. There are many things we cannot do, but let us follow the Lord faithfully, and the Lord will use us, even in the things the Lord does in us. You remember the way that the Lord Jesus Christ healed the dumb and the maimed? It says in Matthew 15 and verse 31 that people saw that, people around saw that, and they glorified God. At least people can glorify God. There has been a change in this person. God has done a work in this person. We see this as well in Asa. And we see so many examples in the scriptures showing the influences of others when they serve the Lord. Even your enemies will have to acknowledge that God is with you. This is something we read in Acts chapter 4. That people knew that these disciples were with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was clear. They were not simply following their own opinions. They were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus had transformed them. They're filled with joy. They're filled with peace. And so we ought to as well thank God for the people around us who possess a bold faith. You should thank God for the examples that you've had in your life. The people who've called you and encouraged you and challenged you and said, why don't you follow? Why don't you seek to serve the Lord? And friends, there are some Christians who don't have the examples that you have had in your life. And we might point a finger and say, look at their life and so on. And why do they do that? And maybe some newcomers who come amongst us. And you think, well, don't they know how to behave? No, don't they know what to do in the house of God, as it were? Well, my friends, you have had good examples. But others may not have had. But you can be a good example by just paying attention, by the way you conduct yourself, by the way you pray, by the way you speak, by the way you seek to follow the Lord. All of these things, by the way you speak after the service, all of these things will be an example for them. Let it be an example for good. And let us be slow in making judgments on those who are new to the Christian faith, or new in following the Lord more closely. We should all pray that God will make us into that kind of a people for His glory, that will be like Gideon here, who called others to come and join, to go and serve God. Come and join to stand for the cause of God. Then another thing that we see here is this: a committed following. Gideon's call, he calls the other tribes living around them to come to the battle. And several of the tribes respond to Gideon's call. In chapter 7 and verse 3, it tells us that Gideon now has an army of 32,000 men. Not everyone comes, but there are those who do come. Not everyone is going to respond to some things that you call them to. But there will be those whom the Lord will move to come. And we should be thankful for that. And we may be discouraged. We may be discouraged about our gatherings and our midweeks and so on. Not everyone comes. But there are those others who do come. And so let us give thanks to God. Let us be encouraged in that. And the same goes for any other thing. Anything good, anything worthy of God's praise, it is not going to be supported by every single individual. And so, but yet, let us give thanks. There were 32,000 men who had come out. And this seems like a small number when it is compared to the 135,000 men of the armies of the enemy. But as we will see later, God doesn't even need that many to defeat the enemies of His people. He doesn't need 32,000. And before the dust settles and the enemy is defeated, God will use just 300 men to rout the vast army of the Midianites. God can use one person. God can use many. Let our prayers be, Lord, use me. We are living in a time when it appears that the enemies of God outnumber the people of God. And it seems that that way, because it is true. It is true. It seems that Satan has far more servants at his disposal than God does. The cults, those who are following false Christianity, their places are packed. You see the cults on the streets day in, day out. And we see very few of the Lord's people who have the true gospel witnessing. Friends, yet when you see these things, we should not be disturbed by that fact. We simply need to remember that when God's Spirit is in control of God's people, He enables them to accomplish amazing victories. God, if He's at work in us, He doesn't need thousands. But it must begin with me. It must begin with you as individuals. You think about various individuals that God has used in the history of the scriptures. You see, you think of the ones and the twos and the threes and the larger numbers. Friends, we must not fear the power of the enemy or what the enemy is doing. God is in control. This is the whole picture of the Bible. God is in control. We must rest in the power of our great God. There are many ways that God has proven His power. You think about the three Hebrew children. You think about Daniel, the widow of Zarephath. You think about how the Lord just stilled the storms. He multiplied the small amount of the loaves and the fishes that were in His hand. He multiplied them twice over. He walked on water. He rose from the dead. The power of God is at work. But the God of such great power, leading us and living in us, we are able to do everything He calls us to do. He will enable us to do everything that He calls us to do. And that's a great comfort. Let's our attitude be one that will follow the Lord as closely and have a right vision, God's vision, and to truly trust in the Lord. You think about the attitude of people in the Bible. You think about the attitude of Caleb and Joshua. You think about the attitude of the other spies. You think about the attitude of the disciples at different stages of their life. You think about the attitude when they were at the end of their life, when they saw the Lord risen. It all changed. Don't fear the enemies that we face in this world. We shouldn't fear. You might think, well, individuals that you might see, they are maybe total atheists. They may be very religious. They may be Muslims. Do you fear them? We should not fear such people. They're lost. They're lost. We should not fear them, because actually their leader is defeated. Satan is already defeated. But ours reign. Our Savior is alive. And He has power to bring those very people who at this moment in time are seeming to be very powerful. He can bring them, snatch them out from that kingdom of darkness and bring them into His own kingdom of light. Rest in the power of the Almighty God and His promises. This is what we see. The disciples preached and lived out. Another thing that we will see in the following verses, in verses 36 to the end, is the very much debated matter of Gideon and his fleece. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by thine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." Now, Gideon has displayed great courage in calling the people to war and the gathering together of an army. That was the public Gideon, we could say. But in private, Gideon is still filled with doubts concerning what the Lord is calling him to do. And in these verses, we will see the doubt of Gideon on display. Let's think about this. Let's just for a few moments ponder over these words that Gideon says and the Lord's response. And I would say to you, we need to avoid such attitude. We need to avoid doing the same. Some would differ, but I'll try to show you. Here we see something of Gideon's doubt. He doubts still. God has called him to go, and he doubts. An army has been raised, and yet he doubts. God has given him all the encouragements and all the words that he needs. And the key word in this verse is the word if. If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand. God has said, I will. He says, but if. God had already told Gideon repeatedly what he wanted him to do. Look at verses 12 and then 14. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. In verse 14 it says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? In verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Gideonites as one man. Gideon is not content to simply trust the Lord and take him at his word. Gideon wants some kind of tangible proof that he can see with his own eyes that this is God's will. Wouldn't that be good? Every single time you want God's will, to know God's will, to have something tangible, something you can hold on to. And this is what we see in Gideon. He wants something that he can see. In other words, Gideon is not willing to walk by faith. Here we see a man who is walking by sight. He wants to walk by faith, but also wants to walk by sight too. Now look at verses 37 and 39. There Gideon makes a demand. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And so on. Then verse 39, he says, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. He comes up with a test. That word prove means to test or to try. He wants to test to determine God's will. In verse 37, he places a piece of sheepskin, fleece, on the ground and asks the Lord to make the fleece wet and the ground around it dry. And God does exactly what Gideon asks him to do in verse 38. And it was so. But then in verse 38, you see Gideon's disobedience. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. So God did that. However, this does not satisfy the mind of Gideon, because he knows that a piece of sheepskin is like a sponge. It will soak up all the available moisture in the air around it. So even though he was able to wring a bowl of full of water from the fleece, he is still not convinced. So the next night he asks God to reverse the conditions of the test. So he wants the ground to be wet and the fleece to be dry. And God does this too. Then look at verse 14. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now, from these things, we see that Gideon was not satisfied to begin with. But then the second time he is satisfied because he doesn't question God's call again. Of course, he could have just taken God at his word and he would have arrived at the same place 2 days earlier. Gideon wanted two precious, or wasted two precious days playing this kind of fleece game with the Lord. I think it would be worth our time to think about this for a little while. This putting out of a fleece. And sometimes we talk about that. Sometimes I've heard that. Even preachers saying that I believe in putting out a fleece. Maybe we've done that. You've set out a test to prove the Lord. Maybe you've dictated your terms to Him and you've expected Him to do exactly what you have told Him to do. I want you to see, I hope I'm being correct in my interpretation, I believe I am, but in putting out a fleece is not the practice that God's people should be doing. It's not something that pleases the Lord. Let me show you the problems with the fleece. You'll see Gideon as our example. Gideon faced the same problem we all face in life. He simply lacked the faith to take God at His word. God told Gideon what He wanted him to do, and we read that in verses 12 and 14 and 16. The Lord spoke to him. But Gideon was not willing to simply trust the Lord by faith. Friends, God expects His people to walk with Him in humble faith in His word and His promises. This is something we read again and again in the Word of God. And it is so clear to us. This is God's desire for us. Let me just read to you a portion. You have the whole Psalm 119 to prove this. It says in Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." When we seek a tangible sign to determine God's will, instead of taking Him at His word, it displeases the Lord. That we are not trusting in Him. And it causes us to, as well, fall into sin. That whatever is not of faith is sin. We can trust His word because He has promised to lead us, and He always does that. When has God's word failed in our life? It hasn't. It's never failed. It's never failed in history of the world. God's word is still with us. Men's words fail. Men's promises fail. But God's word has never failed. Another problem I see in Gideon's fleece is that Gideon dictated the terms to God. Gideon's responsibility was not to tell the Lord how things would be. His responsibility was to simply obey the will of God for his life. And our duty is the same. We are not called to tell the Lord how He should answer our prayers. We are commanded to obey His word and His will for our lives without question. We know God is always true. God is always right. And so we have, again, so many passages in the Word of God. What is God's will? It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's how we discern the Lord's will. Gideon learned that seeking a sign would not solve the problem. He got a wet fleece the first time. But he still wasn't sure, was he? He still wasn't sure. Was God at work? There was doubt in his mind. He was still in the same place before he demanded God for this wet fleece. Did God cause the fleece to be wet? Or did the fleece simply draw the moisture from the air and the surrounding? Gideon wasn't better off after the first fleece than he was before. He still had the same promises from the Lord. The God's promises didn't change for him, but he still also possessed the same problem of doubt. And when we set to throw out our fleece before the Lord and we set the conditions, we are setting ourselves up for doubt. For instance, you're trying to find God's will in a matter, so you say, pray something, Lord, if this be your will, let so-and-so call me by 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Well, what if so-and-so calls you at 1 minute past 7? Does that mean God is telling you no? Or does it mean your clock is just a minute fast? What if that person calls you at 6:59? Does that mean that God is saying yes? Or does it mean that Satan is trying to make you doubt? Or does it mean that your clock is just a minute slow? Do you see the problem? All of these kinds of conditions that we place on God, it produces more questions, more concern. Was that really true? Is this the will of God? And we do this kind of a thing. And it is actually quite superstitious. And Christians do that kind of a thing as well. And we place tests. You're looking to buy a car, and you think, well, if I see this thing, this car, and it's the one that I want in the next 5 minutes, then it is the Lord's will. I will trade in my old car for this one that I have in mind, if I only see it today or in the next little while. But even when things go almost like we ask for them to go, we are still prone to doubt. If you can't take God at His word, you will not be able to trust a fleece either. Gideon learned that truth, and so have many of us. There is no peace if we are trusting in physical things for signs. Yes, we are not saying that God doesn't guide through His providence. But we must be a people of this book and wait on God. Pray and wait on God. Don't be like a Jonah who does something and then it falls into his lap. And was it the Lord's will? Is this what God is saying, to go in the opposite direction? So don't trust in such things. The real problem with putting out a fleece is that a fleece is always placed out of doubt and not faith. It's always put out because we are doubting, because we are not sure. Putting out a fleece, even though it is found in the Bible, it is not a biblical method for determining the will of God, especially for a New Testament Christian who has the complete Bible. It is a method used by people like Gideon, who lacked the faith to simply trust the word of God. How does God guide His people? The Bible tells us exactly how God leads us to know His will for our lives. So many places in the word of God. God guides through His Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this, of the Spirit leading them into all truth. God guides us in His Word. Through His Word, we must be people of this book. It is a light and a lamp to us, the psalmist says in Psalm 119. God guides us through His peace. Not our peace, but His peace. That He shows us that all is well in Him. That in Jesus Christ we have all things. God guides us through the desires that He gives us and the convictions that He gives us as well. The psalmist speaks of this great desire that he has. In Psalm 34 and verses 3 and 4, just to give an example, Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. We must seek the Lord and wait on the Lord. How many times we have that in the Word of God? The Scripture speaks about being guided through godly counsel in Proverbs 11 and verse 14 and other places about the counsel of the godly. Counsel of not just people who are like-minded to you, but those who have proven the Lord in their lives and those who have a right understanding of the Word of God. All of these will be in agreement. And friends, God will never tell us to abandon his word, to not trust his word. God doesn't say something to us to go against the scriptures and then to say, I have peace about it. How many times I have heard this? The person says, well, I must do such and such a thing. I have decided to do such and such a thing, and I have peace about it. But is it found on the Word of God? Is it being guided by the principles of the Scriptures? That kind of a peace, when we go against the Word of God, it's not coming from God. It's just we are trying to appease our consciences. When God guides, the leadership of the Spirit, as the Spirit applies the Word of God, it will line up with the Scriptures. And these are the things that gives you assurance, gives you peace in your heart. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the peace of God will combine to give you a desire to do what the Lord is leading you to do. And others around you will see it. There wouldn't be godly people coming and say, are you sure about this matter? Others will see and glorify God in your decision and walk. We do not need a fleece to determine God's will for our life. We must listen to the Lord through his word. He will speak to you through his word, by his Spirit, giving you a desire for his will, and he will provide peace about doing it. So we must forget such things, forget the fleece, and walk by faith. Some will surely argue that God honored Gideon's fleece. Some would even say that God has honored their fleeces too. God did honor Gideon's fleece. He did it. Because he was working in Gideon. He's still developing Gideon's faith in the Lord. He understands our human weaknesses. He allows certain things to take place. And he shows us grace when we fail. While God honored Gideon's fleece, it does not mean that we should also follow suit and follow this doubtful example that Gideon sets to determine the direction of our lives by seeking signs from the Lord. Even Gideon knew that what he was doing was very wrong and doubtful. Why do we say that? Because he says, doesn't he, in verse 39, he says, let not thine anger be hot against me. If we have to say that to God in any situation, it's a big question mark. What we are doing is not right. And friends, we have something that Gideon did not possess. We have the completed Word of God. God's will is what we take his word. That we take his word. Saturate our lives with its truth and trust him to take us where he will, for his glory. And God gets far more glory from one of his children simply obeying his word than he does from someone who seeks a sign. If you remember, the Lord Jesus Christ condemned those who always had sought after signs. So in conclusion, Gideon and us are at times afraid to take a step of faith and to obediently serve the Lord. We are all the same at different stages in our lives. And at times that we have served the Lord and the Lord has been very near and dear to us, then the next day we could be filled with doubts. Have you ever stopped to think about what could be accomplished for the glory of God in this world if every believer simply did what God wanted him or her to do? There would be more power, more glory in the church. There would be more people coming to know the Savior. There would be more manifestations of God's presence and power amongst us. Far more would be accomplished. Less time would be wasted. The 2 days that Gideon wasted. And the resources that are wasted because of doubts and fears and such things. Far more would be done for our God if we would take God at His word and step out in faith. And so where does this message find you? Are you faithfully doing what the Lord has called you to do? Or are you holding back out of the lack of faith in Him? You know God says this, that He will provide for you, that He will guide you, He will lead you, but yet you're trying in your own strength maybe, you're trying to find a way that matches with your desire and will. And we easily can spiritualize things. Are we looking for, and are we guilty of looking for signs instead of simply taking God at His word? Well, if God has spoken to us through His word about our faith, we need to get before God then. We need to pray. We need to seek Him, to follow His will. And we will never be sorry then, and fail to do that, and we will be sorry. The Lord will bring us to know His will in some other way. But also remember what we heard earlier on of the good example of Gideon. The blessing that he was. The encouragement that he was to those around. And let us give thanks to God for those blessings in our lives that God has brought people in our lives that have been hallmarks of faith and love in our lives, and still to this day, their example encourages us to move forward. Well, may the Lord bless His word in these things. Amen.